As North Africa transforms, Europe is worried about refugees.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. European leaders are meeting in Rome today to talk about immigration, a new wave of it that's hitting Southern Europe because of all the upheaval in North Africa. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports now from Southern Italy.
The Church of San Domenico on the edge of a sunlit piazza in the ancient hill town of Oria. This pretty scene draws tourists from all over Europe, but in recent weeks there's been an influx of less welcome visitors. Young Tunisian men brawl in the street. This only serves to deepen local hostility to the migrants. This man says they drink, they argue, they fight, they break bottles in the street. 25,000 Tunisians have arrived in Italy since January, when the Tunisian dictator Ben Ali was ousted. When he fell, his control over illegal migration collapsed. Mohamed Munaidi joined the exodus.
Maybe looking for a nice life, job, let's say house or something like this.
He's now one of hundreds of young Tunisians living in a temporary reception centre outside Oria. Fauzi Bushetsky is another.
If I have work, I will help my family.
The fact that these young men are looking for work makes them even less popular here. There are few jobs even for the locals. Not everyone, though, is hostile to the incomers. Volunteers hand out shoes and clothes to the migrants. Organiser Giuseppe Vitali says Italians should be the first to sympathise with people seeking their fortune abroad.
We have a duty because we were migrants in the past. We went in the past in the United States and in Germany, above all.
Vitali hopes other wealthier parts of Italy and Europe will put out the welcome mat for the migrants. So far, there's little sign of that. In Oria, southern Italy, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Well, here in this country, there's a report out this morning that shows a huge gap between the retirement benefits that states have promised to workers and the money that's actually been set aside to pay for them. The Pew Center on the States says in total, states are more than $1 trillion short. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
We all have unpaid IOUs. Right now, I owe our bureau chief, John Dimsdale, $2. He knows I'm good for it. But if you're a state and you've promised pension and health care payments to millions of workers, things can get ugly. Susan Uran is managing director of the Pew Center on the States.
So the gap between the promises that states have made for their employees' retirement benefits and the money that's set aside to pay for them has worsened significantly in just one year.
That year, 2009, the height of the financial crisis, tax revenues withered, and so did states' investments. How did they dig themselves out? Pew Research Director Kil Ha.
29 states made changes in the last 3 years to their retirement plans by either increasing employee contributions or reducing benefits in some way.
Or state legislators can pass tough laws requiring their states to set aside enough money for all their obligations. So far, only 3 states have done that. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed across the globe this morning. Facebook will launch a daily deals program in 5 cities today to compete with companies like Groupon and Living Social. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow shed 26 points to close at 12,479.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted mail. Reputation.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance. Trained agents committed to small business success. On the web at farmers.com.
Well, it seems the time to decide if you want the Republican nomination for president is upon us. Mississippi's Governor Haley Barbour says he's out. And Texas Congressman Ron Paul says he may jump in. And then there's the guy who's getting most of the attention at the moment, real estate mogul Donald Trump. Reporter Anna Sale with WNYC's political website, itsafreecountry.org, has been looking into Trump's business background, and she joins us now with that story. Good morning.
Good morning.
So it seems like despite Donald Trump's fame, no one actually knows what he's really worth. Why is that?
First of all, the Trump Corporation is a private company, so they don't have to tell us how much he's worth. Mm. Also, real estate is part of it, and those values obviously fluctuate. And his name itself is a commodity, and you can see that it's on real estate towers and casinos, but it's also on bottled water and vitamins. And so we don't know how much he actually owns and how much he's just sold the use of his name.
So you're saying that those buildings with the Trump name on them, those aren't necessarily his buildings?
Right. The Trump name doesn't mean that he owns it. It doesn't mean that he's developed it. Sometimes he's just sold the use of his name. And this is something that's been a marker of his career all along. He's understood that the Trump name itself adds value. This is Gwenda Blair, a Trump biographer.
Very early on, he got branding. He was really quite prescient about that, how important it would be to make his name into something that would add value.
Now, that has gotten him into some trouble recently. There are actually two pending lawsuits for a project in Florida and a project in Baja, Mexico, where investors bought into a Trump project, thinking they were buying part of Trump's developing sort of mind. And then they found out later that he wasn't involved at all. He just sold the use of his name.
So it's all about the Trump name, the Trump brand.
The Trump brand, it's everywhere. It's on projects that he's involved with. It's on projects he's left. For example, the casino company in Atlantic City that runs the casinos, it's gone bankrupt three times, the last time after he left the board. So it's about the Trump brand for good or for bad.
Anna Sale, reporter with the website itsafreecountry.org. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And finally, to another familiar name, bumper cars. It seems only natural that you would use them to bump into the other bumper cars. Well, not so anymore at one resort in the UK, which has banned bumping for fear of being sued. The resort has changed the name of the popular amusement to Dodgems. A columnist for the Telegraph newspaper described the Dodgem experience as like trundling round an exitless roundabout. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
A lot of American-grown wheat goes to the Middle East, so farmers here know the politics there pretty well.
If the government stopped subsidizing wheat, they would have a lot of riots. I mean, it would make Tahrir Square look kind of small.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Let them eat bread. Next time on Marketplace, that and the day's business news, the numbers from Wall Street as well. It's from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.